Why, hi. How are you?
I get to ask you a question that you haven't responded to properly for several months.
I'm going to say a good 3 months.
Peter, how was your run today?
Thank you for asking, Brian. It was really good. It was outdoors. It was my first outdoor run in 3 months. It was 1.5 miles. It was 15 minutes long. It was a little under 60 degrees. It was toward the afternoon, almost twilight hours. A lot of foliage out today. Felt good. Felt good. Felt strong. Could have absolutely done more. Correct. Not doing that. As I have said in the past, I can't go too far too fast.
Is your plan now that you successfully ran 1.5 miles at this point, early in November, are you planning to run for every rest of the month, every single day?
Yeah, and increase by 10% every day.
That's incorrect.
No. Oh. So let me just give
because,
you...
Because Millinocket training, you're still...
I could still get in that. I could still do the half.
Yeah.
I should just
Fine.
No, so to be clear about how this will go down and how we got to this point. So I was out of action, good 12 solid weeks, a little longer than that, and I got into PT. And this particular week in PT went twice after a week. No, I think almost 2 full weeks off from physical therapy because Jillian, my physical therapist, was out of the country, and I decided not to have to learn anybody else's name.
That is a task.
It's a task. So I held off on the copays for 2 weeks and stretched all on my own and did some elliptical, some bike work, but honestly, and some walking, but just was very careful. She came back this past week and I saw her on Tuesday and she said, "How you doing?" I said, "I'm good. Would it be all right if I use the treadmill today to start our, you know, physical therapy session out?" She was impressed by that. "Yeah, get on there. Go ahead." Did about a mile in intervals. Mm-hmm. So it would be run for 2 minutes, walk for a minute, run for two, walk for a minute, run for two.
I understand what an interval is, Peter.
Well, that's a thing. You do some, then you don't do some, then you do some, then you don't.
Yeah, I get it.
Do you understand the concept?
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
So then Friday, yesterday, I went on the treadmill again. And this time I ran farther. But still with intervals.
Would that be the part where you run a little and then walk a little?
Do you need
run?
Me to explain it again?
Yeah, no, that's... Okay. I think I understand now.
So then today, I mulled the idea of running outdoors for the first time. Because I really wanted to do that.
With some cinnamon?
A nutmeg.
Nice.
Get out
nice.
There.
I like it.
And I almost let the day slip by. I had some errands to run. Saw my mom.
Not literally run. You see how pervasive the terminology is, Peter? You said you had to run errands, and yet you weren't running them.
I did some errand intervals. Went up, saw my mom. My mom says hi. Big fan of the show, Brian.
Hi, Gene.
Likes the work you're doing.
Thank you.
Keep it up.
My mom's proud of us.
I hope that's true.
It is true.
So I got back, and... it was still just enough light to get a quick 20, 30 minute run in there. But I knew I wasn't going to do that. That's too far.
Foolishness that would have been.
So I geared up. I was like, I'm strapping the shoes on. I'm putting on the gear, like the outfit, like the superhero clothes. I'm putting on the long sleeve tech shirt, the shorts.
The mask.
Doing the whole bit.
The cape.
No capes.
Hmm. I run with a cape.
I waited for my watch to get its GPS signal because it hasn't had to do that in about 3 months.
So it took 25 minutes.
Took a little time to figure out where I was on the planet because the whole planet shifted a lot in 3 months.
That's true.
So it clicked in and I said to myself as I went, "You're only going 15 minutes, buddy.
No matter where that brings you.
I don't care what you do. Just do 15. Mm-hmm. So I started up on a section of the road that's very close to me along the Muddy River. It's where I started sort of my adult life running career.
Mm-hmm. A couple of years ago.
Yeah, about 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's right around where I live.
Well, that's convenient.
But I also know it.
That you run by your house.
But I also know it. No, I know it really well.
I know.
And I know that it's some of it's asphalt, some of it's trail, sort of gravelly.
It's your most familiar route.
It's very comforting. So I went out there. And put the old earbuds in.
Oh?
Rocked out a little bit.
Hmm.
I'm going to say I got a little high, man. You know what I mean? I felt
the runner's high?
I felt it at the first mile.
Now, is that because you ran past the cannabis supply store?
It's funny you should say that, because on the way out, I thought I smelled a little kind bud in the air.
Yeah.
On the way back, I passed by some benches. Now, on the first bench, there was a guy.
Yeah.
And he was holding up what looked like a Casio keyboard to his face.
Rocking out a little jams?
He was vaping out some mist.
Oh. Mm.
And I thought to myself, is that marijuana? What is that? Because I can smell it.
Yeah.
But it seemed way too much smoke for that. And it wasn't marijuana. It was probably just flavored tobacco or I think it's like marinated neurons they smoke now. I don't know.
No idea. I don't understand any of it.
The next bench was a guy absolutely with a really long ceramic bowl pipe.
Yeah.
Just blazing up real weed.
Like from a Cheech and Chong movie.
And doing it the real way,
yeah.
As far as I think.
Like, right.
Go ahead, either an apple or a pipe.
Dorm room.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And he was just...
Frat house, basement.
He was just... I'm sure it was for medical purposes.
Well, of course.
He was sparking it up hard, and that's where the smell was coming from. And I thought, all right, this isn't so bad.
That's your runner's high.
And then the third bench... This is
like
100% true. 100% true story. Okay. Third bench, and these were all like within 20 yards of each other. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah,
was a young lady, sort of occupying most of the bench, like legs up, like she's reading a book.
Yeah, like at the beach.
Yeah, like two-handing a smartphone.
Okay.
And she was furiously texting somebody.
Thumbs going nuts.
And I got to say, out of those three people, she was the most offensive to me. She was like nose down in a device.
Right.
And like there's
ignoring
like
the gorgeous autumn
like
colors.
Like the ridiculous foliage and the flora and the fauna.
Right.
I'm sure what she was texting was super important. Right. I get it. But that bummed me out.
So vape guy and bong guy were... Well,
pipe.
Vape guy and pipe guy were in the moment, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a guy who doesn't go with my phone. I don't even bring it. I use a small Nano because it's small enough to fit on those inside pockets of the shorts or pants. I can't do
it's Nano sized.
I can't do
the big arm band thing.
I don't like anything on my arm.
So you no longer use the Sony Walkman cassette player, the yellow one?
I absolutely did use those. And then I used a Sony Discman.
Yeah, we almost needed backpacks for those devices, didn't we?
I did all those things. Yeah. And when they skipped, even if they had the anti-skip technology, it was kind of a pain.
Yeah, it was awful. It was like you might as well have a record player strapped to your back.
If I may get back to my story.
Of course.
So I clear the mile at 10 minutes. Which, for the first time back, I was pretty comfortable with. I was like, that's a good time.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
Kept going. As I got like a mile, quarter mile, and a third, I was like, do I go for two full?
Peter.
Right.
Use your internal judgment.
Right.
Right.
So,
live to run another day, my friend.
I let it hit 15 minutes. I immediately stopped running.
Excellent.
I cleared a mile, 0.52. I felt really good about that. I stayed on my pace that I like. Started walking. I think I walked another half mile maybe a little more just to feel it.
Right.
I absolutely could have kept going. And that's, again...
That's the feeling you want to have.
That's the one.
Because the worst would be coming in and being like, ouch, oh, ow, ow, I can't believe I have to go do this again tomorrow.
And then, because I felt so victorious, I then posted on all forms of social media, which I almost never do. Now, if you're new to the show...
I thought you said you were going to go join Vape Guy and sit down with him on the bench.
Which I never do. No, if you're new to the show, and you were probably brought in by the gateway drug that is Kelly Roberts, thank you, Kelly. You may or may not know that we have this thing on social media on Saturdays called SatStat Chat, where we encourage people starting Saturday morning to write in on Facebook primarily, but you can do it on Instagram, you can do it on Twitter, and just tell us where you are, how your run was, and some stats, you know, how far, what kind of run it was it hills, was it taper? Was it a race? And I'm a bit of a weather nerd, and I like to know what the temperature is in your neck of the woods. So I did all that. I was part of that today. I put that out there, and I don't usually do that. Well, I haven't done it in 13 weeks, so it felt good to do that. Now, Brian, that was me. That was my triumphant return to the world of running, and now I feel that I can be the full co-host to this little here show that you've created, that you're so nice to have me be a part of.
Oh, Peter, that's not true at all.
No, it's all
your
my show.
Full 50%.
It's my show.
It is.
And it's mine.
I just show up.
It's mine.
I bring a microphone.
I filed the paperwork.
I wedge my way into the room.
I filed the paperwork. It's mine.
Oh.
No, it's even, Steven. I'm believing. So I ask you, as your equal partner in all things, Brian, how was your run today?
Peter, the weather was glorious.
It was.
And how wonderful is it to run down a lane and just kick leaves out of your way? Bup, 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 bup. That's one of my favorite things to do. It has been ever since I was a kid, of course. And that's what drew me out today. I had to run 12 anyway, long, slow distance 12, with a 4-mile progression on the back end, which I've never done before.
Can you tell me what that is? Because I don't quite understand that.
I will. But the most fun was just kicking fallen leaves out of the way and really sort of taking in the mid-autumn, late-autumn sort of weather and everything, the look.
Sure.
So the progression. So I ran a regular long, slow distance for 8 miles. Then the last 4 miles was progression. I had to kind of go from where I was, and then every mile speed up by 30 seconds. That was the progression I was doing. So if I was starting at 9:30, averaging.
Yeah. Was that what your long slow was?
Yeah, I was moving along. It was all right. That was my long slow. It was 9:30. So then I ran the 9th mile at 9:30, the 10th mile at 9, the 11th mile at 8:30, and then the 12th mile at 8. I didn't quite, 8:03. But I have to say, everything felt okay. The 8:30 was pushing it.
Wow.
And then the last mile.
It was brutal.
I was running so hard for the mile and could not get below about an 8:22. And then the last, 2/10 of a mile,
mm-hmm.
I actually closed my eyes and ran as hard as I could. I was down a little cul-de-sac and I said, okay, I can do it. And I just sprinted my guts out.
I believe I can fly.
And my watch finally buzzed. And I stopped, and luckily I hadn't gotten hit by a car or run into the woods accidentally and ran headlong into a tree.
That's a quick pace.
And I looked down, and I had made 8:03 for that last mile. And I'm going to say that it was actually one of the hardest things I've ever done.
Well, yeah, because it's the end of everything.
The whole run was actually wonderful.
Yeah.
It was relaxing. The first few miles I had to work through some physical stuff, and it was really great to be out there. Great weather. Again, kicking the leaves was glorious. But boy, pushing it on those last couple of miles was really, really hard. And then again, I had to say, oh, this is a workout. This isn't what the marathon's going to feel like.
No.
You know, I'm training so that at the marathon, what I want to do is going to be doable. This is part of it. But, you know, you get that thought like, well, if this is so hard, the marathon's going to be harder. But it's like, no, I'm not going to be running any 8-minute miles.
No, you're doing the work here, and it's going to be awful here. But then, right. Then when you're there, you're going to be able to click into some stuff and have some hopeful negative splits on the back end.
Where am I going to be?
Well, that's right. Coming up, you're going to be in Millinocket, Maine for the Millinocket Marathon.
Where's the finish line? Which way to the finish line?
You can't get there from here.
Oh, it's going to be so cold.
It may or may not be. I'm really looking forward to it. I've turned the page. I had, it's sort of an ethereal vision, this marathon, because it's so far away. But now I'm really set on it. I'm really getting excited about it. It's within reach. It's tangible. My workouts are very defined for the next few weeks. I'm excited.
I am not, and I have to be the guy who is your champion and your support guy, and I'm not sure I know what I'm going to be doing.
Peter, we have several listeners who are going to be there at the Millinocket Marathon.
So now I got to be social.
You're going to be social.
There's that pressure.
You're probably going to be wearing a party hat and blowing those,
The New Year's Eve things. The horn blowy things. Yeah. They have a name. I'm not saying I can't do it. I'm saying I'm going.
Yeah, you are going.
I feel like you're going with a focus.
It's going to be fun. Well, then you need to set some goals, Peter.
I got to go sub goal up.
Let's goal up. Let's do that. Let's write down our goals for the Millinocket Marathon.
Okay, easy. Goal one, get there, because it's about 7 hours away.
That's true. It's so far. Get there.
Are you going to write this down?
I'm writing it down.
Yeah, okay. Goal one, get there. Goal two, meet people who live there.
Meet people who live in Millinocket.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point of doing this thing. That's right. To help out the town.
That's right.
Goal three, scream your name most of the time that I see you.
No. I'm gonna adjust that goal.
Oh, okay.
Scream the names of every listener.
I guess we could do that.
Well, we're gonna have to find them, and they're gonna have to find us.
How will we know?
Homing beacons.
That's fine.
No, of course we're gonna be wearing shirts. We're gonna be the two people there wearing HWYR t-shirts.
That's right.
We'll be easy to find.
We'll be easy to find. That's very exciting. Can I create another goal?
You may.
Eat local cuisine.
I love it. I just spelled cuisine with a Q. That's hilarious.
That's how they do it up there. It's that far north.
It's like another language.
It's like another language. I would like us to record with someone from the area and or related to the race. Shouldn't we be interviewing somebody?
I think that is a laudable goal.
Can I create another goal?
Peter, you're on a roll. You're on a hot roll. I wish we were playing craps right now. We'd be millionaires.
I'd like to get back safely. I'd like to have you drive us home.
That's not going
to
happen.
Do I have to drive home?
Do you know how to drive a stick shift car?
I do.
Then you're... Yeah, I will have run a marathon.
We're not going back the same day.
No, that's true.
And you're not going to want me to drive your car.
There's not enough ibuprofen on the planet. No, I may drive.
You're probably going to drive.
I'm a driver.
I'm probably going to take a photo of you driving.
I'm a guy who likes to drive.
You do like to drive. You drive this podcast.
Can we record the show that week on the way home in the car?
Yeah, I think that's what we're doing.
Okay, record show in car during return.
Yep, I think that's right. All right, I feel good about this. If I come up with some others, I'll...
How about I have one more goal? May I add a goal, Peter?
I guess. It's your show.
Run Millinocket Marathon. How's that?
I think that would be... At least one of us should do that.
Yeah. Although, and a sub-goal.
Yeah.
Under 4 hours.
Shh. Oh, Chris Heisler would slap your fat face.
I know. It's a time-related goal, but I'm putting it in there also.
Yeah, but let that be the one you drop the quickest.
That's the quickest dropper. High five, 10 kids.
Oh my God, high five, 10 kids.
High five, 10 kids.
I am going to bring my sneakers, though, and I'm probably going to go for a run up in Millinocket, hadn't really thought about, but of course...
Are you going to do the Peter Villa HWYRT 1 mile fun run? First inaugural?
Yeah, I might.
I think that's a thing that's going to happen.
I think that might happen.
I think you're going to introduce yourself to so many people on Friday that by Saturday morning at, 6:30 in the morning, some contingent of Millinocketites are going to be out there running a 1 miler with you.
I think it's like a crankle 2K. Isn't it? Wouldn't that be what it is?
That's it.
I think it's a crankle 2K, the first annual crankle 2K.
I love everything about it, crankle 2K.
Remember, we're all worried about the Y2K, but you should really worry about the crankle 2K. Because that's coming.
Don't worry about it. Embrace it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, so I have get there, meet people in Millinocket, scream out the names of HWYRT listeners
who are running the race,
who self-identify.
Well, they have to tell us. I'm not psychic, bro.
Well, you don't just call out anybody's name who listens to the show.
Bobby, I mean, Sam.
They have to be there at the race. Obviously, that would be really
strange. Go ahead, Mike.
Eat local cuisine. Interview someone who lives in Millinocket and is race related.
We're all race related.
Return home safely. record a show while driving home on Sunday.
Yeah, and actually that first goal, return home safely and recording the show while returning home, actually might be at odds with each other. But okay, we'll figure it out.
Well, we'll find out. There'll be a narrative to support one of those realities. Run the Millinocket Marathon sub-goal under 4 hours.
Oh, it's unbelievable that you're doing that.
And run the first annual Millinocket Crankle 2K. HWYRT registered trademark.
I think that's right. I think that's what we're doing.
I love it. I will reach out to the race director tomorrow. Terrific. About the Crankle 2K.
Terrific. So if you are a listener, thank you for listening so far. And if you're coming to Millinocket to run that race, please let us know. If you wish to be identified, I will shout your name very loudly.
When's the Crankle 2K? Is that going to be Friday night or Saturday morning before the race? You can't do it before the race. Or are you going to say non-marathon runners?
I think it's non-marathon runners. I don't think you're allowed to run a Crankle 2K.
No.
No. And I think it's probably going to be Friday night.
I love everything about this, Peter.
I think it's Friday night.
Yes.
It'll be nice because we'll be in the car for like 1,000 hours.
Right.
It'll be nice to get out and run a little bit. You could do the Crankle 2K.
Of course I could.
How long's a 2K?
I don't know.
Well, a 5K equals a little over 3 miles. 2.5K would be 1.5 miles. So a 2K is probably like a mile and a third. Give or take, it's a smidge.
A smidge.
Yeah. This is exciting. More information to come, all ye listeners. Brian, speaking earlier of Sat Stat Chats, something I'd like to do now is read a little something from one particular post that came in not too long ago. Do I have your permission to do so?
Peter, please move ahead.
I'm going to the HWYRT computer bank now, and I'm pulling from the files here. So this came in over the wire. This is from Betty Gautier. I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly. Hello, Betty. She's writing to us from beautiful Michigan, she says. And
hey, I'll be in Michigan in a few weeks.
Yeah, that's right. You will be. That's well, right. You guys should set up a little 2K.
Crankle 2K.
Crankle 2K. She references Crankle. Here we go. I was supposed to do a 10K run with steady hill work this morning, but I ended up breaking the dog. He looked at me after 4.5 miles and said he was done. Once he lay down, I knew it was over. We have the crankle and the cringe, and we even joke about crimp. That would be hip pain, Brian. But what is a clever word for breaking your dog? Laugh out loud. So I've written back on social media, and I've told her we vote for officially coining the term breaking the dog, because that's the best.
Being a repeat offender of breaking the dog, I think that's perfect terminology. I love it.
I've seen people run with their dogs. I've even seen people cycle with their dogs. Have you seen that?
I used a mountain bike with my dog, but the dog was not on a leash.
I've seen in the street of the city-ish area that I reside, a guy that I know actually commutes to and from work, not terribly far, but he's on his bike, and he's absolutely got the leashed dog, and he's happy as a clam.
Can I tell you something?
I want you to. That's what this has all been about.
There are some people who bring their dogs to November Project Harvard Stadiums.
Is that true?
That is true, and it is astounding that these dogs...
Do they do the workout?
...run up and down the stadiums.
Oh, my God.
It's intense.
Like, I have this thing where I know cats and dogs are in better shape than I am, but I don't think I want to see it. I know most mammals
right.
are way better shape than I am.
They are.
I just don't know if I need that on top of all the humans that are in better shape.
Well, it's just... You know when you're in an airplane and you look out and you see below some clouds and then another plane and it's going the other way and it just kind of goes by you?
Yeah.
That's what this is like.
So it's really removed. It's like...
Yeah, it's like, oh, there's another thing happening over there, but yeah. it has no reflection on me. First of all, you're in so much pain, there's no time to reflect.
Right. So in your metaphor, the altitude change, the difference in space.
Yeah.
Is the pain cone.
That's right.
That everyone's in.
The pain cone as you're climbing the stadiums or descending, both of them are equally horrible. So you may notice something in the side of your vision and you say, oh, yeah, that's an enormous dog doing these three times faster than I do. And that thought is just fleeting because your pain cone continues to grow.
Right. And they're taking their pain cone in another direction anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Betty, thank you so much for helping us with another term. That's amazing, breaking. How do you feel about crimp as the hip pain thing?
That's fine.
Yeah, a little crimp there in that.
I have to tell you that the artist in residence, we were playing a little kids versus grown-ups soccer game.
I don't like what
with
this
my daughter's soccer team.
No, I don't want to hear it. Please don't say it.
And we were playing out at the high school under the lights on the big turf field. It was exciting. And she did a little jump. Mm. And right there in the old calf, there was a pop and a tear and a crumple to the ground. And she's recovering. A little touch and go there for a couple of days. But I think she's going to come through on the other side of it okay. But we were talking about, is that a couch?
What's a couch?
Calf ouch?
A calf ouch. That puts you on the couch.
It puts you on the couch, of course. Calf ouch, couch. I kind of like it.
Calf over an ouch.
Couch!
Yeah, it's like, okay, couch, I get it now.
Yeah.
I think when you do it that way, like comic book style with the exclamation point.
Yeah.
Because I saw it come out of your mouth.
Yeah, it's like, crinkle!
Right, crinkle. Right, I think, is she going to do an artist rendering of couch?
Well, she has nothing else to do. She can't move.
She's literally on a couch.
Yeah.
Well, I would buy that t-shirt. Where can I get those t-shirts, by the way?
You can go to the Redbubble store. You can go to hwyrt.com, click on store, and go to the Redbubble store through there. Peter, I have something to tell you.
Okay.
Have you ever watched the program Black Mirror?
I've seen the first two seasons. I know the third season recently came to Netflix. I have not had the opportunity to explore that. Why?
Well, I've seen one show, and I won't reveal any of the plot, except it has to do with social media and ranking.
Okay. Is it a dark tale? I'm thinking it's going to be a cautionary tale.
Well, of course. I mean, this is like the Twilight Zone. There's always a lesson at the end of these programs. But I don't even want to talk about that. It's just the way that they portray a potential reality in which we very much are addicted to rankings and likes and little hearts and all the little thumbs up and things we press in our social media. And the reason I want to talk to you about this is because over this past weekend, where we had so much excitement and fervor over our interview with Kelly Roberts, she was wonderful and posted us on her social media platforms.
So good.
We had a welcome to a lot of new listeners, I hope, that are sticking with us. And that got me on all the social media platforms, reading everything and liking. And, you know, many of our recent guests, I've been following them on social media and liking and following and this and that. And that. And none of that is bad. But it does create a sort of anticipatory reflex in you. And it sort of can take over your whole mindscape. You know what I'm saying? I found myself actually in the car running an errand. And when I came back, I wanted to check my phone
to see what else is
what
new.
Else had happened.
What's happening?
Now, I know people talk about this all the time, but I had never experienced it to this extent. And I almost then canceled all of my social media accounts at that point. I said, this is cuckoo.
Yeah, the click fever.
You know what really helped?
Mm.
Going out for a two-hour run.
Right. Right, yeah.
Because
get away
by
from
the
it.
Time I get back, I'm both elated and exhausted.
Right.
And even though, yes, my watch automatically updates my phone with my stats and this and that, it goes out there, people can see it with Strava and stuff. I really wasn't interested at all in that.
Yeah.
I wanted to eat a little food. I wanted to say hi to everybody in my family.
Go shower.
I went in the hot tub.
You earned that hot tub.
I did. And then who cares about the phone? I'll look at that, you know, sometime tomorrow afternoon.
There's other things to do.
But I forgot to stat chat. That was a foolish thing.
I've been waiting for you to do it.
Yeah, I need to update that. But I have to tell you, have you ever run into that situation where you get all social media and liked and hearting and,
oh,
and
yeah.
replying?
No, it's like a click. I call it the click fever. It's like
click
you get
fever. Yeah.
You get just, oh my gosh, I'm going to put this up there. It happened a lot to me personally during the presidential debates. Like those live events that happened that many people are tuning into at the same time. Because so much of what goes on sort of in the in-your-face world, in the cyber realm.
The social realm.
Well, but so much
realm.
Of it's delayed. And like even right. you referencing Netflix, so much of it's delayed because people get to it when they get to it. Mm-hmm. But then when a live event happens, the World Series that just happened, the political debates, the actual election day itself, right? Those are all things that we're all sharing at the same time. Now, typically television...
Or the Olympics. There was a lot going on during the Olympics as
right.
well. Right.
Now, typically television is still the main medium by which we're consuming that moment.
Okay.
But then we're doing this other thing as a side experience. They tried to call it two screening, but nobody cares about that.
Yeah, but there's no term for it.
There's no real term for it. It's more just, oh yeah, I'm following Twitter or I'm following Facebook. But Twitter really seems to be the place where the live stuff really seems to happen in real time in reaction to things you're watching in another platform. And it made me stay up much too late because...
Oh, you not, mean at, like after each debate you were up
oh,
watching
yeah,
all the...
Oh, okay. Yeah, because then you were watching some of the things come in as they were happening, but there's so many of them because if everyone uses the same hashtag election night
right.
or hashtag Olympics or hashtag World Series or hashtag Cubs or whatever it's going to be,
right.
there's only so much of that you can take in. You can only really take in the people you're following because they're coming up in your feed. Mm-hmm. But if you really want to explore and go down a wormhole... Goodbye 2 hours, like you're going to be just
oh.
in it. So yeah, I was spending night after night, not in a row, but when the debates would happen and whatnot,
sure.
just way too, huh? Like, no, I don't need to do this. This
okay.
doesn't.
Okay, yeah, I never did that.
And so sometimes it's better to do none of it and then read about it on right. blogs a day or two later, and maybe people will throw you the most important things, quote unquote. I don't know what that even means.
Yeah, that seems to be what
like,
I
what's
do,
the most
I
important tweet? Well, there's
so
no,
what
there's
you're
no...
saying. So what you're saying is what I'm experiencing is nothing new to most people or to many people.
No, I think people don't even know they're experiencing it, right? So what I hear, I think, is you say, I'm doing this run to counteract some of that. So
well,
I
didn't even know I was doing it. But when I came back,
I
felt reset and I said, oh, you know, I've been going at that phone... Like it's a little, a little hamster drip tube.
Yeah.
And I need a little hit. And intellectually, I understand, obviously, how this works. But to have it actually happen to you is a little disconcerting, I have to say.
Yeah, and I don't...
But then at the same time, I think, well, you know, a lot of the people that I'm following are friends of ours or our
yeah.
guests. It's like, well, I don't want to not... support them by looking at the pictures. And so many people we know are in New York right now.
Because of the New York City Marathon.
Because of the New York City Marathon.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's sort of fun to see behind the scenes stuff
sure.
and sideline stuff
sure.
that's going on. But at the same time, I've got a life. I'm not in New York right now. I've got other things I'm doing.
And look, there's a real reason why it's stat chat. Right? It's Saturday morning.
That's right.
It's and you can hop in and put in a stat anytime
well,
after
and I
that.
Often run on Sundays, so I don't even put in.
Until
I'm
late.
I'm usually the last
you
person.
You usually are.
Actually,
you sort of like, when I see yours.
I cap it out. Right.
So I think, not that you can't have that kind of interaction on any given day, but I think, and I don't have any metrics for this, but I would assume the traffic gets crazy Friday night through Sunday night. On all these platforms for various activities, not just running related, anything.
Really? I would have to say it's event
related. But isn't it free?
Whatever event could possibly be.
But don't you think it's also free time based?
No, see, that's what I was experiencing was that, for example, like Friday night into Saturday afternoon, there was no time where I wasn't sort of looking at the phone. There was no, oh, I guess you're right. This was the weekend, right? When I'm working.
But you're not doing it on a Tuesday
nine to five,
at 3.
Right, I'm not spending any time on social media.
Right, yeah. Unless right. someone bings you very specifically with a message about something, maybe you go look.
Or if some bizarre event happens in real life, a
that's
volcano
right.
explodes
that's right.
or some,
that's right.
you know, whatever, aliens
yeah.
land.
And then sometimes when you get a when you hear of something that's happening, like in my town, if I hear that there's a fire,
oh right, yes,
I do Twitter. I go quickly to Twitter because if I do the right kind of lookup, whether it be a hashtag my town's name or hashtag fire department or whatever, you can actually get a lot of information from the place.
Yeah, we had an incident at one of the kids' schools. Everything was fine, yeah. But right, it was very easy to find some updates and actually some reputable updates. It's like, you know, because the police department puts stuff out on Twitter. Yeah. It's not just people saying, this is what I think I saw. You get some actual official updates.
Yeah, so I don't think it's a bad thing, but I hear exactly what you're saying.
Oh, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think, but we do need to monitor ourselves. I mean, going back to the woman who was sitting on the bench.
At least she was outside. How about that one? At least she was two-thumbing it outside.
I often have this argument with my kids, which is, I'll have my nose in a book or a magazine.
Yeah.
And they'll say, well, looking at my phone is the same because I'm just reading something. And I said, well, yeah, but with this magazine that I'm reading, I can't then talk to someone through it about something else or interact in some other way. Like, I'm in complete control of this. And if you talk to me, I'm not also conversing with another person. I'm not, my mind isn't engaged in another conversation.
Right. And to that point,
at the same time, which whenever anyone's looking at their phone, you never know if they're actually engaged with a conversation with somebody else.
Yeah, and another element to that is when you read that book, you can pause on that sentence and see where you were, but you don't immediately go to a magazine and read three lines of a story and then pick up a third source, like a book or a newspaper, and then pick up a fourth book and then click inside that book and go to someone's blog about three. Like, a book keeps you here.
Right, it's a straight line narrative. Right?
The only other thing you can do other than read that book is not read that book. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
And then when you're ready to, all you do is go back to reading that book. It's right. Either it's binary, it's on or it's off. With the social thing and these devices that we all use ubiquitously, you really can do like 9 different things within 13 seconds. And it's a little too much. And I sometimes, and this is partially being old, right? I'm like, wait, I'm in Instagram, right? Okay. No, wait, I'm going to go over to Twitter. Wait, no, I'm going to jump over to Facebook. No, I'm on a newsfeed. It's just, my brain hurts. It's too many places to type. I've also done more typing in my 40s than I did in my teens when I actually used a typewriter.
Do you think that's true?
Oh, I absolutely type more now in my 40s than I did at any time in my teens learning how to type on a typewriter in public school. And of course, I think about it at work. All I do is use a keyboard. And then all I do on my phone, 90% of the way I communicate now is by texting.
Isn't it funny that they're phones and yet we never actually talk on them as a phone?
I've seen my son do this thing, which I think is crazy. He will do his math homework. He'll finish a problem, like he'll really do it, pencil and paper and do it. Then he'll take his phone and he'll talk into it and he'll read the question into the phone to see what the answer is to double check his work. But he never types into the phone. He tells, I think it's Siri, hey, what's the blah, blah, blah of this blah, blah, blah. And then it says it and he goes, okay, good. And if he gets it wrong, he doesn't use Siri to figure it out. He goes and figures it out. But most of the time, I guess he gets it right and he flies through his work. But at first I was like, are you using this to cheat? He goes, no, I'm verifying my answers. And that is in of itself is a mind-boggling concept. Because I think we used calculators.
Peter, do you see my jaw? It's somewhere down on the floor. I need help picking it up.
No, I know. But also, I mean, there's a counterbalance to all that, though. I don't know what it is, but we're going to be someone's food soon.
Worm food.
Hey, this has been episode 52 of How Was Your Run Today with Peter Villa and Brian Gould. Music by Jeff Kornenberg. Anna Brooks is our social media guru. Andrea Bonnie Gould is our artist in residence. Listen to us every week wherever you collect podcasts. Brian is debating whether to keep them on his phone or just borrow them from the library. But whenever you visit that special podcast place, please give us a rating and a comment. Every single one of those makes a difference in how this little here show is ranked.
Join us every Saturday on Facebook and Twitter with your SatStat Chats. Tell us where you ran, how the weather was, and leave a sweet, sweet photo.
Fulfill all of your HWYRT shopping needs. The holidays are coming at our Redbubble store.
And if you love HWYRT, please share our posts on social media. It's free and it's easier than breaking your dog during a long run in Michigan.
For everything else, please check out the new website at hwyrt.com.
Hey, Peter.
Yes, Brian.
Have another good run soon.
Oh, I will, Brian. I most certainly will.
Don't call it a comeback.
Come on, Bray.
So, we can't say that. I'm going to...
Why?
Foolishness.
So I knew...
Foolishness.
As I was waiting...
That's my Yoda.
Was that your Yoda?
That's awful.
Foolishness. Foolishness that would have been.
You sound like the Taco Bell dog. You don't sound like Yoda at all.
You sound like Spuds McKenzie.
No one knows what that is.
Foolishness. I don't know what that was.